Now this morning, we're going to be at the Passover Supper. We're in the upper room. We're with the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples. We're gathered around the table at the Last Supper on earth that the Lord Jesus Christ will share with His disciples. And we know that Luke, the physician, has recorded in his gospel, chapter 22, Jesus Christ assigning a task to Peter and John to go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. So that was the beginning of this, where Peter and John were given this job to go prepare that Passover. And they asked the Lord for details. What are your requirements? So they asked for details as to where it should be and were told by the Lord to enter into the city, and there you would find a man bearing a pitcher of water. Now, these kind of instructions are unheard of. We never would give instructions in this manner, but our Lord is God. And God knew that there would be a man carrying a pitcher of water. And then they were told to follow that man to the house where the Passover Supper would be conducted. And upon entering that house, you're to ask the good man of the house. He called them the good man of the house. And you're to ask, "The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" So they were to ask in the Lord's name as if the Lord were asking. "And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them. Would you doubt that they would find other than that? For our Lord knows all, and he knew that this was to take place, and this was how they were to find the guest chamber. And they made ready the Passover. But there was one thing that they lacked in their preparation, and that was the important task of seeing to it that as they lay around the supper table, they would lay prone with feet that had been washed. That was a requirement of good manners. As you gathered in a formal setting like that your feet would have been washed. But why this was neglected, we're not told. There's no explanation for this neglect. Perhaps this band of men, perhaps we understand that they were a rough band, perhaps not taught, perhaps not refined in proper manners. They were interested in what was going into their bodies in the way of food, as men are. You know, what's for supper? We come in the door. Instead of saying, "Oh, hello, dear, I'm so glad you're home and I missed you so," we say, "What's for supper?" You know, we're kind of crude and coarse sometimes. But they thought only of the food that was going into their bodies, but thought little of what was needed to be removed from their bodies. Intake and outtake. What is to be taken from the bodies? We're so concerned about what goes into the bodies, but what is to be taken from our bodies in order to be acceptable at the Last Supper of our Lord? But you know, our Lord found this as an opportunity to teach this little band of men that great necessity of staying clean in order for fellowship with Him to be continued. You know, God desires you to be clean, and He enters into that process to bring cleanness into our lives. Oh my, this is a filthy world. It's all around us. But God expects us to be a peculiar people, a clean people. And He expected His disciples to make preparations toward that end. But He used this as an opportunity. So it was not only a lesson in manners. You know, by the way, are you teaching manners to your children? Oh, how important manners are. for your children to learn respect for others and not to think only of themselves, but manners are thinking of others. You know, we were taught not to chew food while you're talking with your mouth going like that. That's not good manners. That's not respect for others. Who wants to see that? You know, we were taught to dress neatly and decently so that others would have a gift of appearance, of your appearance, not be a sloppy person. So we were taught manners. We were taught to open the door for a lady. When there were a lot of ladies around, you know, you'd open the door for the lady. You go first. You know, it was always ladies first. We were even taught to walk on the outside near the street so when the wagons came through, the mud wouldn't splash on the lady. Now, we don't have a lot of mud yet, but the manners are still there. So manners are important. So confronted with this by our Lord, Peter has objected vehemently and passionately, saying, never, never, never will his Lord stoop to such a lowly task on his behalf. You see Peter's mindset about service as stooping when it's the highest thing you can do in God's kingdom, to serve others, to serve God. But after hearing Jesus Christ's absolute regarding continual fellowship, you know, Jesus Christ spoke absolutes. There's a lot of people that say there aren't any absolute. That's an absolute already. But Jesus Christ spoke absolutes. There was no hanky-panky. There was no lack of understanding of what he said. His speech was black and white, yes and no. So after hearing Jesus Christ's absolute regarding continual fellowship with him, he quickly yields his entire body to the Lord, and as quickly hears Jesus' response in John 13:10, where Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Are you washed in the blood of Christ? Are you washed by the blood of... You know, you can't be washed and be clean by any other means than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But when you are, there's a requirement on a daily basis to be washed by the Word. So Jesus Christ says to Peter, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Ooh, he threw that in. So Jesus is saying that only a partial washing is needed if the full washing has taken place. Peter, you have been washed, he is telling Peter. But as long as you remain in the natural body, a partial washing is needed to maintain fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, we wash every day, do we not? Perhaps on some days we don't wash as much as we do on some days. And Jesus Christ is saying that he that is washed need not be washed again except for the feet. So John has this same message in 1 John 1:6 when he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, it's so easy to say, I believe in Christ, and then walk in hellish ways. Walk in hellish ways. I believe in Christ. I'm a Christian. And walk in hellish ways. We walk in darkness when we say that. We lie and do not the truth. In other words, you have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. In other words, in this context of the actions taken at the Last Supper, if we say that we have fellowship with him and have dirty, unwashed feet, we lie and do not the truth. So Jesus is telling Peter, I expect you to maintain continual dependence upon me if we are to maintain fellowship. You know, the born-again experience is just the start on a life of devotion to the Lord Jesus. It's just the start. It's the coming out into his presence. But there needs to be a continual dependence. You know, the road of this life is rough. It's dusty. It's dirty. It's paved with wickedness. And I know that in your strength, Peter, you cannot wash anything away by yourself. You know, we've got a lot of things that are claimed to wash away dirt and grime on the body, but nothing can wash away the sin. Cleaning the road will not maintain fellowship, Peter. I can go clean the road, but it won't maintain fellowship. And Jesus Christ is inferring he's not going to go clean the road. I do not intend to get rid of the dust and the dirt. I do not intend to make the way clean. I do not intend to clean up the road so your feet will not get dirty. And I don't expect you to clean it up either. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that want to clean up the world. That's not satisfying to God. You can't clean up this world. This world is hopeless in sin. It lieth in sin, the Bible says. And you can't clean up the world. The road is beyond cleaning. I don't rebuke you either for having dirty feet. For having dirty feet is the way of this world. As long as you're in the world, you're going to have this condition. I simply expect you to come to me daily, knowing that your feet are dirty and you need them washed by the water of the Word. You know, we come to church on a weekly basis. We come to Sunday school on a weekly basis. Why are we doing that? Because we need washing. We present our feet to the Lord, and He washes them by the water of the Word. My Word will not clean the world. My Word is intended to clean you every whit. You know, God washes individuals. God does not clean up this world. He washes individuals. And this is my plan for you, to maintain fellowship with me as long as you are in this world. You know, we're dirty as long as we're in this world. When we get to heaven, it's a different story. But as long as we're in the world, He expects us to come to Him daily, because our feet get dirty daily and they need to be washed by the washing of the water of the Word. You know, He's talking to Peter. For Peter is the one who rejected such daily washing, but there is another sitting around the table in the upper room who has rejected Christ's full washing, and Jesus will not let this pass, for He speaks of this in John 13:11. For He knew who should betray Him. Remember, He said, but not all. But not all. For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore said He, ye are not all clean. He couldn't let this pass. By saying ye are not all clean, Jesus Christ refers to whom? Judas. Now, did he wash his feet? Yes, he washed his feet. But he made it plain that not all have had the full washing. So he wants us to know that Judas was not saved. He has not given himself to Jesus Christ to be fully bathed in his righteousness. You know, if you want to appear before God, you've got to stand in the righteousness of Christ. I've got no righteousness. I've got no righteousness to appear before God's throne. I have to be in Christ's righteousness, and I only receive that by being born into His family. But Judas would manifest his lost condition in less than 1 hour. As he goes forth to sell the man whom he pretended to be his master. My, isn't that an amazing fact? To know that there was one who rejected the full bathing of the Lord Jesus Christ and went about to betray Him for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, that's hard to imagine, such wickedness and such evil. One commentator has said that he was not a sheep of Christ, becoming unclean, but a dog returning to his vomit. That's Judas. For a time, he maintained a form of outward godliness, but he was always a stranger to the washing of Jesus Christ. So in verse 12, it says, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them," now picture this, our Lord has finished the washing of the feet. They're around the table properly with washed feet, clean feet. And he looks them in the eye, and perhaps he turns his head as he asks this question, "Know ye what I have done to you?" You know, one of the things that this tells us, when Christ speaks, think deeper than what you just saw, because he has a message that's far deeper than what our eyes just beheld. And that's what he's asking the disciples. So you see this method that Jesus uses here to teach his disciples. For the washing of the feet of the disciples and the question of Jesus shows how it is his way to teach us afterwards the good which he has already done for us. We see this in the parables that our pastor's teaching. Later on, the disciples ask, what does that mean? And Jesus was happy to explain to his own what had occurred. But Jesus Christ wants us to know and appreciate what he has done for us. You know, every day you should wake up with a joyful heart, knowing that you woke up. God gave you a good rest that night, perhaps. Maybe it was fretful, but you woke up and you saw the sunshine and the bright day ahead. And you thank God for it. You know, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Do you have that kind of a heart of rejoicing for every day and walking in newness of life every day? You know, all I've got is today. The past is gone, and tomorrow I don't know. But I've got today, and I'm to rejoice. But we should often reflect and ponder those things that he has done for everything he has done is for our good. Do you believe that? All things, what? Work together for good. Everything God does is for our good, and we'll know that someday for sure when we're walking in eternity on the streets of gold. And in everything, he wants us to know the whys and the wherefores of what he has done. You know, God doesn't wish for ignorant disciples. He does not wish for robots to follow him. The devil is involved in creating robots. You know, everyone thinks alike. Everyone acts alike. Everyone dresses alike. Everyone wants the same things alike. That's what the devil is creating, robots. But God wants us to know. He does not wish for his followers to follow him out of habit or tradition or because it is a family thing. You know, have you decided for Christ on your own, or are you just part of a group? Now, that's the important thing. Have you decided for Christ on your own? Or, I'm just part of a Christian family. Well, that's not what he's pleased about. He desires his followers to know, to be knowledgeable. So we must realize, as we study the life of Christ, that everything he did was full of meaning. Everything he did is intended to serve a purpose. And we see it here when he says, "Know ye what I have done to you?" Think about this, disciples. It's not just about foot washing. There's a greater, deeper meaning here. And there is no other example fuller of meaning than the washing of the disciples' feet. And he wants his disciples to know what he had done to them in the fullest sense. "Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And ye say, well," he's saying, "that's proper. It's proper for you to call me Master. It's proper for you to call me Lord, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So here he brings about his name, Jesus. He adds to it Jesus Christ. He adds to it Lord Jesus. He adds to it Master Lord Jesus. And he reminds his disciples of what he is to them. You know, he tells us in this that he is the great authority over our lives. He is the one to whom we obey. He is Lord. He is Master. And if they call him Lord, if they call him Master, then honesty demands that they believe him and obey him. You know, it's easy to call the Lord Jesus, Lord, but does that mean you obey him? Or are you a hypocrite? Do not call Jesus Christ Lord if Lord means nothing. Calling someone Master means what? That you believe him. You know, in our democracy, in our egalitarian society, we don't have those kind of terms, do we, Lord and Master? It's not easy for us to see someone else as Lord or Master. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and he ought to be our Master. Calling someone Lord means that you obey him. Jesus Christ tells his disciples that it is right and well to call him Lord and Master, and therefore he validates those titles for us. You know, that's a good thing to teach our children, that there is a Master. Now, you can make the world your Master, but if you're a Christian, if you're born again, if you're saved by the blood of Christ, then Jesus Christ is your Master. And this is what we ought to call him, but it must be accompanied by believing and obedience. Otherwise, what are we? Simply hypocrites, liars, and deceivers. But everything Jesus Christ does provides examples for his followers to follow. Because God intends for his children to be conformed to his Son. You know, that's what sanctification is. It's the process of conforming us to Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, we have our individuality, of course. We're not robots. There's diversity in God's creation. It abounds in diversity. But generally speaking, the principles of life, he conforms us to his Son. So he provides us spiritual lessons by examples. And he says to his disciples, observe what I have just done so that you may do the same. I have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. So he's teaching this lesson to his disciples. And it involves, now think deeper than that physical act, for it involves much more than the physical act of washing dirty feet. He uses this example to tell the disciples that what he has done to them, he expects them also to do to each other. Have that same heart, have that same relationship with other believers. Now, note here that the Lord Jesus Christ accepted the fact that their feet were dirty. You know, he never pointed out this. He never pointed this out in a critical and judging manner. He did not compare their feet among themselves, saying that Peter's feet were dirtier than Andrew's feet, or John's feet were cleaner than Judas's feet. We do that, don't we? Now, it may not involve feet, but we look around and we say, boy, I think I'm a better Christian than that Christian. I don't do the things that that person does. And we start judging others and comparing ourselves among ourselves. And the Bible says what? That's not wise. That's not wise. And Jesus didn't look and say, boy, I'm going to need a new basin of water for yours. He didn't point that out. He simply what? He simply washed their feet. By this he demonstrated that every disciple had dirty feet that needed cleaning. We're all in this together, he was saying. You're all in this together. You all need. There's not one of you that doesn't need this. He demonstrated that he was the cleansing agent whereby dirty feet were made clean. That's the lesson here. This is the lesson that Jesus Christ desired to teach his disciples. He wants them to relate to one another in the matter of cleansing in the same way that he has related to them. You know, we may look at the feet of our brethren, we will see that they are dirty. But we are not to ignore the dirt pretending that it's not there. We all know that we're sinners. We all know that we walk in this world. We all know that we pick up the things of this world. We are not to call the feet of our brothers clean when we know that they are dirty. Every foot on every brother or sister in Christ is dirty and it needs that daily cleansing. All of us need this. We are not to judge his feet dirtier than our feet or the feet of others. So we are simply to wash one another's feet in a spiritual sense. We don't do that as a custom anymore, but it's a spiritual sense. We are to provide washing of the Word of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about a spiritual washing, and that is what we're talking about here. I have to get down to my brother's spiritual feet to wash them. I have to humble myself to get into the right position to participate in the washing of his feet. My flesh has to be subdued if the Spirit is to work on behalf of my brother's spirit. Jesus Christ is simply demonstrating the same thing that Paul said in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, what did he say? Point it out? Ridicule him? Make fun of him? No, he said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Try to bring that brother along and help that brother and help in the cleaning of him, that he might stand before the Lord repentant and forgiven. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the teaching that Jesus Christ was giving. But if I am to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, there is required a submission of my brother. So you have a responsibility. If I'm to help you, you have a responsibility in submitting. As 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You younger folks are here to submit yourselves under the authority and the helps of the elder, that they may help you also walk in newness of life. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, when we come to Sunday school or when we come to the service, we are to come in a humble spirit. Now, the pastor may say something that says, I don't like what he said. Well, you better be humble about it and find out what it means to you as far as your walk with Christ. Is it a time for you to submit your feet to be washed? Or is it a time to raise up pride? So, you know, in this vein, your pastor is in the foot washing business as he spreads the water of the Word. And I, as your Sunday school teacher, am also in the foot washing business as I spread the water of the Word. And you, as a brother or sister in Christ, are also in the foot washing business. The washing of the disciples' feet teaches how fellowship is maintained with the Lord Jesus. The feet represent the child of God walking in this world system and being affected and influenced by it. The dirt on the feet is the world influencing God's child as he conducts his daily affairs. You know, we're all in various places. Sometimes we're on dusty roads, sometimes we're in dirty places. But that's the picture that's given here. It's the world influencing our lives. God's child daily finds himself loving the world, loving the things of the world, exercising the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, these things, as they daily influence the child of God, separate God's child from fellowship with God. Don't you know that? You know, oh Lord, I feel it. What's that? Prone to leave the one I love. That, remember that song? Prone to leave. That's prone. That's within us in this nature that we have. We're prone to leave the God I love. So something must be done if fellowship is not to be broken. So that which daily affects and influences the child of God must be removed by Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. So you picture him bowing at the disciples' feet with the basin and the towel, washing the feet. That's the picture that he wants for us to know, that daily we need to call upon him and have us washed. In other words, the lesson that Jesus Christ teaches us is that the only defense his children have against the corrupting influence of the world is the applied water of the Word of God on a daily basis. Fellowship with Christ requires a submission of oneself on a daily basis to the Word of God. Remember, Peter said, never, never, never. And Jesus Christ absolutely said, if I wash not your feet, I'll have no fellowship with you. So you see how important it is to maintain that fellowship with Christ, is to submit yourself to the washing of the water of the Word of God. So Jesus Christ concentrates on the washing away of the dirt. He does not concentrate on the dirt or how much dirt is there. He does not caution his disciples about how much dirt is on their feet. He simply expects them to submit their dirty feet to him. He didn't criticize Peter because of how dirty his feet were. He told them that he would have no part with him if he did not let him wash his feet. And that's the principle, the important principle to remember. Jesus Christ is capable of washing all feet, regardless of how dirty they are. You know, you fall into sin. Jesus Christ doesn't say, well, that's too much. I can't take that. I don't have any water for that. No, he says, here's the water of the Word of God, and submit that to me. Repent of your sins. Come to me, and I will wash you. So he expects us to confess our sins, regardless of how dirty they are. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and in so doing, fellowship is maintained. He expects us to yield ourselves to him that he might wash us by the water of the Word of God. Father, we are thankful for this short series of lessons in this wonderful passage of John 13. And we're thankful, Father, that regardless of the condition that we're in, how dusty the road was, how bad we fell into sin, we know that there's water to wash away the sin in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do bless us now, Father, as we go to our service. Bless our pastor as he preaches and teaches us from the Word of God, that we too might be washed in the Word. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.